This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:36 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We now have Sean Tanis of our news desk joining us for the market wrap. And today we're looking at a report on pasamalam or night markets because traders are urging DBKL to allow the setting up of stalls that would be similar to night markets in Bangkok, Thailand, in order for them to operate and maximise space. And I'm just going to throw this to you, Sean, because I don't know how the Bangkok style setting would work.
So under the SOP setting practice in Thailand, stalls are basically covered with plastic or canvas screens at the side and also at the back. So this is to regulate customer traffic and gives traders more control where buyers can only browse the stalls from the front area of each lot. So the Pasamalam Kuala Lumpur Association says the Bangkok style setting removes the need for traders to observe physical distancing between the stalls, and the local night market SOP now requires traders to set up their stalls at 2.5 meters apart. So traders also need to take turns or do business on alternate weeks in any one location. And they complain that this is way too restrictive, and also because they have to cut the amount of shops into half, right? So the Bangkok setup, however, allows all night market traders to open for business at the same time. And traders also pledge to limit the number of customers entering the night market, where customers will be, they have to give their contact details, have their temperature checked, and sanitize their hands before going into the area. So the question they're asking is why Malaysia can't do this instead of crippling these traders who are already struggling to make ends meet.
Yeah, and that's a very worrying thing because based on reports, many traders have actually sought assistance from their individual associations to buy things like food and basic necessities. And they're saying that the one-off 500 ringgit government aid just isn't enough. On average, about 40% of Pasamalam traders are reportedly aged 60 or above, and a majority of this demographic just have nowhere to turn to.
Correct. So most of the Pasamalam associations are upset because they're asking who's looking after the welfare of these traders who actually don't earn a lot, even at full capacity. So a lot of them are senior citizens, like you said. So now with the 50% capacity and alternate week operation rule, they can only do business at a location two times in a month. So what if on that one particular night it starts to rain and they can't open their stalls?
Which is a reality for
Pasamalam. For Pasamalam. So this means they will go 2 or 3 weeks without any income. In fact, they don't even have cash in hand to restock goods to sell to customers in the first place. So the TTDI Pasamalam Association, for example, they say traders are facing a lot of hardship and they are unwilling to give up their lots. They are questioning why restaurants are allowed to operate at full capacity. Even children are allowed to dine in, but for some reason, Pasamalam, they are not allowed to do that. Another association, Pertubuhan Pengurusan Pasamalam Kuala Lumpur, revealed that the traders are in a lot of desperation right now. They believe that instead of a one-off payment, the government should take into account the traders' months of inactivity. And if the government cares about the welfare of those in the high-risk group, they should receive some form of aid to stay at home. So, I mean, you can't ask them to go, don't go out and do business, and at the same time, don't give them anything, right? So they also urge the authorities to place DBKL enforcement officers on each side to control the crowd and also foot the bill for RELA officers to be stationed at these venues to control the crowd.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to actually speaking to traders and finding out on a more case-by-case basis what people need, right? Because it's one thing to say, hey, I've given you government aid. It's quite another to actually hear what's going on. I do also think that this is interesting because I haven't yet been to a Pasamalam, but I did go to the road in my neighborhood where it's usually held on Sundays, and I saw the markings on the floor. And I actually can't imagine how far apart you'd have to space the stalls because the markings on the floor were just where people should stand. So, like, looking at it, it's a little bit hard to imagine at this point in time. And I think the Thailand system seems to be a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you just don't have to do the markings then. You just don't have to leave a space because, I mean, so what is the physical distancing for? Are we protecting the stall owners or the customers? So that also we have to ascertain in the first place. So, yeah, very tricky.
Tell us, I mean, have you been back to a Pasamalam yet? And what was that experience like for you? Did you find that people were operating with enough distancing? was it strange? Did it feel different? You can call us at 7733-2900 to chat about your Pasar Malam experiences. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And moving back to Bursa Malaysia, shares of MyEG Berhad were trending today. What's happening there?
Yeah, so MyEG Services Berhad was among the most active counters today with almost 102 million shares traded. And this follows news on MyEG receiving a 3-year extension from the government where they provide online renewal service for foreign worker temporary employment pass. So the deal is worth 208 million ringgit. And the company says this will contribute to the earnings and net assets per share for their 2020 financial year, which ends in December. So MyEG closed down at 1.51 ringgit.
Sean, thank you very much for that market wrap.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.